Our reading is from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 to chapter 3, verse 6. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed by their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. The challenge of today's passage is how, as Christians, we can adhere to God's plan and command for us to observe the Sabbath, getting that right balance of work and rest without becoming rigid and legalistic in our thinking to the detriment of ourselves and others. Those of us who are old enough will remember the time in the UK when there was very little to do on a Sunday except rest. The shops weren't open. Pubs were, but with very limited opening times. Public transport had a skeleton service, and in the home, it was the norm for any housework to be forbidden. I remember vividly as a young child, my mum washing on a Sunday, but then not, as was her norm, putting the washing outside to dry. And I remember asking her why not, and she said because it would look bad, it would upset the neighbours. How things have changed in just 40 or 50 years in the UK with what we boast to be our 24/7 culture, where we can pretty much do anything at any time. And working on a Sunday is now the norm rather than the exception. Of course, there are many parts of the world that do still strictly adhere to the Sabbath. And I admit that whenever I visit such places, I can't help but wish that we could reverse our national stance because I love it. Keeping the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work." The Sabbath was an integral part of God's design and plan when he created the world and us, as it describes in Genesis. Let me just read from that. "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy." Throughout the Old Testament, the requirement of a Sabbath was reinforced by the prophets. It was an essential part of Jewish life and was one of life's practices which differentiated those marked out as God's people and in a relationship with God. From the very opening of the Gospel of Mark, we witness how the Sabbath was embedded in the rhythm of life for Jesus. Mark 1, verse 21. "When the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach." Today's reading and the accounts of Jesus seemingly breaking the rules of the Sabbath in order to eat and heal do need to be read in the context of Jesus's adherence to the Sabbath in other areas of his life. Or we can reach the incorrect conclusion that the Sabbath doesn't matter, because it did matter to Jesus. This conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders of the day isn't about whether to observe the Sabbath, it's about how to observe the Sabbath. And that is very much a question for us today, isn't it? We have the option of doing anything we like on the Sabbath, pretty much. We can work, we can shop, we can wash, and these days we can put our washing out to dry in public and not have any repercussions. We can do housework, we can do emails. We can even turn restful activities into stresses and become worn out by the sheer volume of commitments that we have. A workout in the gym, running the kids to their sports events, playing taxi and running a military timetable to get everyone in the household to parties and other social activities over the weekend. Even church, or should I say often church, can be full of busyness and it can be exhausting. It can be anything but the Sabbath. But if this is your life, and I confess that it is often my life, we're getting it horribly wrong, because we are neglecting both of the key reasons for Sabbath. Firstly, we are not getting a healthy period of rest on a weekly basis. I'm sure I don't need to point out the health benefits of rest and the consequences of not getting it, because I suspect that we all know from personal experience and from observation what that means. If we don't preserve a full day of rest each week, then we are rejecting what was given to us as a precious gift from God. Secondly, we're rejecting our relationship with God. We're neglecting it at very least. I think one of the positive things to come out of living in a society where there is no natural rest, we've developed a recognition of the need for protecting family time and date nights. But how much more important is it to ring fence God time? It's a healthy relationship with God that brings about the glue which strengthens everything else, our relationships with one another, our relationship with the world. It's this relationship with others which Jesus saw as broken when he sent this clear message through his actions on the Sabbath that the Sabbath should not be about legalistic observance, but about relationship, firstly with God and then with others. For the Pharisees, the Sabbath had become about what not to do. It had become a list of things that were prohibited. And rather than focusing on the positives of the day, which is what it was meant to be, a positive experience for us, it had developed into something of a cruel regime where compassion and love were lacking on the Sabbath. Banning healing on the Sabbath, well, it'd be like closing our hospitals for the day and not allowing any treatment under any circumstances. This is never what our loving, compassionate God intended of his special day, as Jesus demonstrates. I'm not going to read it out now, as it's quite long, and ideally you do need to read the whole of the chapter, but Isaiah 58 gives us a fantastic insight into Sabbath obedience and its inextricable link with compassion and social justice. One of my favourite phrases in today's reading from Mark is, Jesus looks around them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. What a model for us. That anger in the face of injustice, a willingness to put his neck on the line to stand up against it, taking a clear stance against religious fanaticism when it promotes incorrect doctrine, and being ready to respond to need in a way that's flexible. I'd even describe it as liberal. How we manage our Sabbath is a matter between us and God. We must never judge anybody else. And of course, our Sabbath doesn't need to be a Sunday. For many of us, it can't be a Sunday. We simply need to make sure that we honour the principle, protecting a proportion of our week as a time for rest and a time for worship. That is not to say that the other 6 days a week and our work itself can't be worship. I firmly believe it can be. I firmly believe in my own life that it is. Every minute of our life is God's, and we can glorify God in every minute of our life. Jesus showed us that too. But the Sabbath allows us to focus on God in a way that the rest of the week doesn't leave space for. And if we skip it, we miss out on his gift to us. And we do so at our peril.